you in peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is our gospel lesson from John chapter 20. You may be seated. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Indeed. He is risen indeed. In fact, in actuality, in history, in reality, 1,984 years ago, give or take a couple of years, not in mythology, not in a mass hallucination, not in the distraught and disturbed minds of the disciples, not in pious hopes, indeed. Jesus takes back his crucified and dead body and takes it up from death and the grave. He leaves the grave claws behind. He folds them. He folds them like he's making his bed. Because grave clothes are for the dead, not for the living. And Jesus leaves the tomb. Because tombs are for the dead, not for the living. As the angels preach, why do you seek the living of the among the dead? Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? It's empty. What a marvelous sermon that angel preaches. And where does he preach it from? Sitting on the rolled away stone. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. But no one's ever done that before. Isn't that the Lutheran mantra? We don't do that. It's never been done before. No one in the history of the world has ever come out of the grave, resurrected, never to die again. When you walk through a cemetery, you don't expect to see people climbing out of their graves, dusting themselves off, going off on their merry way. It just doesn't happen. It never in the world had happened. We have a very reasonable expectation that the dead stay dead. That's why the women in the Gospels are having so much trouble. Jesus isn't here in the tomb. Well, they must have moved his body. The disciples are likewise troubled. They're perplexed because they, like you and I, know that death is a permanent state. That the grave has a permanent grip. It never lets go. But Jesus, your Jesus, he doesn't care about never. He doesn't care that death had never been overcome, that the grave had never been left behind, that no one had ever risen. He doesn't care because bodies normally rot. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Jesus doesn't care. He breaks through. He bursts out of the grave. He empties the tomb. He breaks the darkness. He destroys death. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
His resurrection is just as sure as his birth, just as sure as his death, just as sure as your cup of coffee this morning, just as sure as the Easter breakfast waiting for you in the gym. Jesus was touchable. He tells the disciples to feel his hands, to feel his side. He ate with them. He drank with them. He roasted fish on the coals by the Sea of Lake Galilee. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have, he says. His flesh and bones are real. He is seen by the women. He is seen by the disciples. He is seen by more than 500 witnesses. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. If it were not so, we just ought to pack up and go home. sell this church to a bingo parlor and split the money and buy a new set of golf clubs. That's what St. Paul says. He says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain also. St. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most pitiable. St. Paul says, if the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You see, everything that we teach, everything that we preach, everything that we believe, confess, and pray, and hope for, depends on this, that Christ indeed is risen. If he is not risen, says St. Paul, we are still in our sins. Still in our sins. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, pushing through to the why Jesus' resurrection matters to us. You see, it's not simply a matter of life and death. It's much more than that. It's a matter of sin and forgiveness. If Jesus were not raised, we would still be in our sin. And sin and death are always bound together. God says to Adam, if you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall surely die. And St. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. Because it is a result of sin, death stands as a constant reminder of our sinfulness. Death is God's no to all our attempts to be our own God, to have things our way. And that's our problem. That's our trouble. Our last enemy. We are sinners. And so, because of that, we are dying. In fact, we are dead already because we deserve God's wrath. We are good for nothing but filling up graves and burning forever. What you and I deserve is death, eternal death, God's wrath. We deserve hell. We deserve to be whipped and beaten and rejected by men and by God. We deserve darkness and wrath. We deserve the cross. But your Jesus gets it instead. He suffers for your sins, and he dies for you in your place. What happened on Good Friday is what should have happened to you and I. And because of Jesus' cross, what happens on Easter Sunday is what will happen to you and I. In Jesus' death, you see what ought to be your future. But in Jesus' resurrection, you see what will be your future. And so now, all of your pain, all of your sickness, your suffering, your heartache, all of these are borne by Jesus. For they are for you the birth pains of eternal life. Your sin is forgiven. Your conscience is cleansed. Your guilt is taken away. Your shame is covered. Your death has lost its sting. Your grave is open. Your despair is over. Your devil is crushed. Your fears are banished. Your Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.